You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. For months now when we've started our show off, I've commented on the weather being pleasant, but oh, it is nine of those Celsius degree things, gray, drizzly, and somewhat foggy. It is not very nice out there, but we're not going to let it bother us, Jim, are we?
Well, of course it's raining because it's a long weekend, Victoria Day on Monday. Of course it's raining.
Yeah, of course.
And Victoria Day long weekend is usually considered the first weekend for camping in BC. And I had never seen people putting tarps or two tarps over top their tents before until I moved here. Because I was from sunny Alberta.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's with tarps over your tents? Oh, I see. You got to keep 18 inches of rain off. So today we'll be taking a look at some of the headlines that caught our eyes. The first one that caught mine this morning on Bloomberg Business TV, China is now Canada's biggest importer of our crude oil.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's a good point. May even have to increase the capacity of pipeline and ports on this side to get them to China, I guess.
Perhaps later this year, next month perhaps, we'll start shipping LNG to Asia.
Yeah, this was a good one because about 3 years ago, two officials from Germany came to Canada specifically to meet with to let Trudeau know that they wanted to buy liquid natural gas from Canada, and Trudeau dismissed them and said, "No, it's the climate is more important."
He said, "We'll send you hydrogen." And who is actively using hydrogen right now to power?
Nobody is, and nobody will.
It's very difficult to transport and very corrosive.
Oh, yeah. And it also, what you want in any energy source is high density. And you get high density in crude oil, pretty good density in natural gas, and coal, things like that. And, of course, the highest density of all for energy is nuclear. And we've got all these various ways of generating electricity, and governments got off on the idea that it all had to be done through sustainable, renewable things like windmills and but I can see it's fading now. The public's beginning to realize that hey, it's just a lot of stuff and nonsense. So yeah.
Well, also, BC, which generates its power from hydro, is predicting another drought this year, which means BC will have to import power from the U.S.
Well, it depends on really how much drought it is. When you take a look at those reservoirs and the amount of water we have to generate hydro, big time. I saw that, and also I saw the premier's office stating that that they had to put more money into renewables like windmills and solar cells. It's insane. We've got endless amounts of energy in a high density form, which is one hydroelectric. We got coal. We got natural gas, but even then, the NDP government in Victoria is calling for renewables. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and no sign that they're tipping their hat towards developing. Well, there's now what they call boutique reactors, the size of a phone booth that could, you know, power enough for a suburb, and the risk of radioactive leaks very low because it's such a small facility.
Yeah, no, you've got these small modular units. You can build them fairly close to where the electricity is needed. And the advancement in technology on these have been terrific, and I think they'll keep going, but you have to break the tide of this renewables and windmills and solar cells. Forget about it.
Well, in a discussion with some energy experts, they said one of the problems in British Columbia is the title of the power company, BC Hydro. They can't get their head out of using other sources of energy besides hydro from dams. And really ignored in BC a company called Blue Energy, where they use tidal power, barges that can generate enough power from barges for 3,000 to 5,000 homes. Just park one on a river. You have a constant flow of water. Nothing's dammed up.
Well,
it doesn't harm fish or anything.
I'll let them finance and live off of it, but I don't want to have anything to do with tidal water things. I think the public is beginning to understand that the whole bit about renewables is a scam, and the whole bit about having... Oh, and also Prime Minister Carney, Prime Minister of Canada, he really is a radical communist on these ideas. He just ramming them down everybody's throat, and he doesn't want to have pipelines, he doesn't want to have this and that. So there's going to be a tough few years with this new prime minister or new premier, and I don't know how it's not going to be pretty.
Now, taking a look at some other headlines from Zero Hedge. Despite mainstream panic, U.S. consumer price inflation tumbles to lowest in over 4 years.
Yep, the rate of consumer price inflation has been coming down, which is a good thing.
The NASDAQ has jumped 20% in the last 24 days. Is that too fast?
That was in the headline. Too fast, question mark? Yeah, no, quite amazing some of these moves are, yeah.
Bob, is this open manipulation of the markets? The administration in the U.S. Putting on tariffs one day and taking them off the next?
No, the tariffs thing is opportunism. In history, whenever you get a serious recession, each country's politicians look at their own soaring unemployment, you know, men out of work, and then they come in with tariffs. Whereas Trump's is a manipulation for whatever reasons, and it's not... It's not going to force a recession, but one thing about the positive side on Trump's tariffs is that ages ago, like before the income tax period, governments lived off of the things they taxed. That's your taxation on this stuff. And it's a good way. So what he is aiming for is to reduce the cost of government and get it to the point where funding can be done through tariffs, and then you get rid of income tax and you get rid of the IRS. Now, if that happens in the United States, you know it'll have to happen in Canada. Folks are going to go for it. But one thing on the Canadian side, it's just sort of a groundswell of opinion in with the powers that be. They're going to clean up all of the protectionist items from province to province to province. I'm convinced it's going to be done, so that would be a good thing.
Prime Minister Carney said he's going to take out anything that the federal or remove whatever the federal government can do to reduce interprovincial trade barriers. And again, I had to explain that in Canada, yeah, there is a lot of protectionism. It's mostly has to do with liquor production. Alberta doesn't want BC wines on their shelves. BC doesn't want Alberta beer and so on. And that happens right across the country. But yeah. I think at the last Prime Minister meeting, all the premiers except Newfoundland, Labrador agreed, okay, we'll take down those barriers. And so people in Ontario can enjoy the fine wines produced in BC. And as I always said, well, if they do make fine wines in Ontario, we'll get to find out because they'll be on our shelves. So, yeah. And it's good for everybody. They say these interprovincial trade barriers, which also include labor, things yeah. like a certificate you might have as a carpenter in Newfoundland, isn't recognized in Quebec and so on. So yeah. trying to get a one standard across the country. And trucking is another one. Each province is in charge of motor vehicles. They have different standards for vehicles. Having one standard across the country, again, would reduce all these costs.
Yeah.
No, saving Canadians billions. So this could yeah. be a really good thing for the country.
No, I'm very encouraged by what I see on the province-to-province protectionism. So it's good. It's going to be good.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy, headline from Zero Hedge. U.S. Treasury shocks with second biggest budget surplus in history.
Yeah, for those who keep track of budget surpluses or deficits, they had a surplus and made a good headline, didn't it?
Wow. So how did they get the second biggest budget surplus in history?
Just happened, Jim.
From Zero Hedge, hedge funds capitulate with second biggest short covering panic on record during Monday's melt up.
Yeah. Man, some of these day-to-day moves have been unbelievably powerful, and you've been on the wrong side, and then you got short covering. Whoa, it's been incredible in volatility.
Oh, so a lot of them shorted, meaning when the market went up, they were caught.
Yeah, and then
the bag.
You got a cover. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
And you know about the clerks.
What's that?
Well, Bob, you've said in the past the brokerage clerks, when it comes to when shorts happen and you don't have the money, they start rubbing their hands in glee because they can really dig in.
Oh, yeah.
Now, from Bloomberg, Japan's 30-year bond yield climbs to its highest in almost 25 years.
Yeah, long rates in Japan have had a tremendous increase. That, as I said, in almost 25 years. So that's one hell of a headline, actually.
Yeah, well, Japan has been the home of negative and zero interest rates ever since their economy collapsed back in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been amazing, yeah.
Is that something they have to do to have their economy grow?
No, in the case of Japan, it was exceptional, and it just happened, and that's that. Hmm.
From Reuters, analysis, investors cheer U.S.-China truce in the tariff war, but they are still cautious until they see a final deal.
Yeah, it just shows that there are tariff truces underway, and at some point there could be good news in that department.
And from Reuters, the Fed to stay patient amid cooling trade war and inflation. They didn't raise rates or lower rates the last time they met last week.
Yeah, now this one I really like to talk about, Jim, because the even, you know, top New York people really consider that the Fed can run things. And in the early 1900s, the big guys decided they wanted to have the Federal Reserve System because it lent, as a lender of last resort, they would prevent recessions. And how they prevent recessions is that a financial crisis, a credit crisis, always precedes a recession. So the thinking then was that with the Fed as lender of last resort, there would be no credit crisis, and therefore, Jim, no recessions. That was the belief then, and if you count them out since the Fed opened its doors in January 1914, there have been 15 recessions. Now, in most any serious discipline, you have a theory, and if evidence says it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But here you've got 18 events that say that central bank intervention doesn't work, and yet they still rely upon it. Now, we're at the part that's getting really tricky, because you're getting good, people are saying that the Fed will soon start to cut rates, and that'll be good for the stock market. Dead wrong on that one, Jim, because if you take a look at the history of interest rates, and the T-bill rate goes up with the boom, and the Fed follows in raising its administered rate, and then interest rates roll over and head down, then eventually the Fed will follow with rate cuts. But in that moment of transition, the street celebrates that there's going to be some Fed cuts. But if you take a look through history, interest rates going up with a boom is a positive indicator. It's showing the good times are on. And then interest rates going down, the T-bill rate's going to go to zero again. And it's going to be as part of a serious contraction, recession, you know? So we're watching here. There should be an outburst of confidence that the Fed cuts will keep the party going, but it is absolutely intuitive thinking and dead wrong thinking. Interest rates go down in a bust, and that's what you need to know. And they go up in the boom, and you need to know that one too.
Also, the history of income tax in Canada. Income tax was introduced during the First World War to help pay for the war effort, and it only applied to the top 5% of earners.
Yeah.
So I guess, Bob, we're still paying for the First World War.
Yep. Once they got into it, they're never going to give it up. But I can see it's a part of this part of Trump's ploy is get rid of income tax and get rid of the IRS. And if it happens in the States, it'll happen in Canada.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had a good time today, despite the gloomy weather out there.
We call it liquid sunshine in Vancouver.
Okay. You comfort yourself with that one. It's fine by me.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from rainy Vancouver today. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.